Okay, so welcome to the second portion of pathogens to protozoa, important microbial groups in animal waste processing systems. We're about to get started again with our next talk, which will be Natsuko Merrick. Fate and transport of indicator bacteria, Bacteroides in surface runoff in agricultural fields. Welcome.
Actually, I'm not Natsuko, but she had a baby about a month ago, and she has been, her family and she herself have been caught in the flu bug. And so she sent me an email, said, I'm not going to be able to make it. Unfortunately, I had this talk on my hard drive. And it's very, very similar. The title is a little different, but it's actually very similar to what she was going to present. So I will make the presentation today. I'm the third author, Warren Dick, and my other co-authors are David Henry and Robert Mullen. Well, bacterial pathogen contamination in streams, just a little bit of background. Of course, agriculture gets blamed for a lot of this. Whether it's true or not, we do. And since this is a session on microbial source tracking, a lot of papers, you probably know what it is. But it's an attempt to identify the source of microbial contamination, in this case, in our rivers and streams. And we are looking at a PCR-based 16S rRNA gene assay for this microbial source tracking in the work that we're doing. E. coli is one of those organisms that's used as a general indicator of, as a fecal general indicator for fecal contamination. But we have been looking at Bacteroidales, which is also shed in feces of animals. And it's an anaerobic bacteria, so it's a little bit different than E. coli, which can be both. This one is expected to have a limited survival after release in the environment, and therefore we say it probably could have a more sensitive and be a more sensitive and specific indicator of fecal contamination. We conducted our study in Sugar Creek watershed in Ohio. It was listed by the Ohio EPA as the second most contaminated watershed in Ohio. A lot of dairy, especially Amish farmers along this, in this particular area. And we love our Amish farmers, but they do things a little differently. And it has shown up in some of our streams as far as contamination of these fecal indicators. So this is just showing it's a mixed-use watershed, and maybe I can go back. It's a mixed-use watershed. It kind of shows, you know, forest, grassland, urban areas. But one of the unique things about this watershed, there are 21 sampling sites that are located in the, and this is just the upper headwaters of the Sugar Creek. So we're at the very beginning of where the water begins to concentrate and flow into the Sugar Creek. Materials and methods, we collected stream water samples from these 21 sites. This was done in summer of 2008. We have continued to do this, but this is what I had on my computer at this time. We conducted viable E. coli counts. Then we would take the sample, we would filtrate it, extract the DNA, and use that DNA as the source for microbial source tracking using quantitative PCR in this particular case, targeting the 16S rRNA gene of Bacteroidales. And the thing about this, we had, and I'll show this a little bit later, we had a general marker that could detect all the Bacteroidales, and then we had specific host markers, whether the Bacteroidales came from a human source, a bovine source, a pig source, so different specific markers that we could go back in our samples to identify, well, if we had a spike in contamination, what might be contributing to that? So host-specific PCR was conducted using the 16S rRNA gene marker. And to detect the specificity, we did also then use 10 individual cow feces samples, 7 individual human feces samples, a water treatment plant influent sample, both influent and aseptic influent sample. And then we would test the specificity of these fecal DNA samples using these specific markers for pig, deer, and sheep, dog, goose, and horse were some of the types of samples we looked at. Okay, some of the results. One of the first thing that you notice about this is that the E. coli MPN number, which is on the x-axis, you'll see it goes exponential at 10 to the second, third, fourth, and fifth. Whereas if you looked at the Bacteroidales numbers, they start 10 to the fifth, 10 to the sixth, seventh, eighth, and even above 10 to the ninth. So it's a much more sensitive indicator, about 1,000 times more of these Bacteroidales in these water samples than you would have for the general E. coli. In some cases, it's almost too sensitive because we find it everywhere. So, you know, with E. coli, if we find it, you know, at certain levels, we begin to become concerned, whereas Bacteroidales, we find it at these very high levels. But the thing that probably needs to be done is to specify at what level should we begin to be concerned about with Bacteroidales. But you can see about 1,000 times more sensitive, which I think is interesting. As we went through our 21 sites, we found, I want to point out three sites, two of them are circled. Site number 8 is a spring in the Upper Sugar Creek area where all the local people would come to collect bottled water for their drinking. And one of the things that was very interesting, we didn't find any marker in that sample. So these people were probably knowing something that we just confirmed for them. It's a very pure source of water. Site 14 and site 21 were very high, and we circled those to do some follow-up study. But 14 and 21 were very much either a high dairy concentration or a higher urban, a small village associated with those two sites. When we looked at our specificity, first of all, we looked at the bovine marker. And you see we had two different markers, CF-128 across the top and CF-193 on the in the second tier down. And we see it was 100% specific positive for bovine samples. And once in a while, if we had a human sample, that bovine CF-193 would show up just a little bit faintly. Usually, you know, we didn't get very many false positives. And if you look on the bottom two, we looked at feces from pig, deer, sheep, dog, goose, horse, and the blank. With the bovine marker, the sheep and the deer also showed up positive because they also are ruminant animals, so you might expect that. And for some reason, with the CF-128, we saw a little bit of a lighting up, a little bit of a faint banding with the pig feces sample. With CF-193F, the only positive sample we got with this bovine specific marker was with other ruminant animals, deer and sheep. So it was pretty much not specific only to cows, but specific to ruminant animals. If we looked at the human marker, just the opposite, here we saw no false positives with bovine. It was only positive with the humans, and when we tested it against these other feces from pig, deer, sheep, dog, goose, horse, and blank, 100% negative. So that human marker was pretty specific in identifying source of the Bacteroidales. No false positives were observed on other host DNA samples. And of course, we don't have a huge host library, but we tried to choose representative hosts. This is this 14 and 18 samples. 14 and 21, I mean. 14 was positive, you remember earlier, and 21 was also positive. 14 is a sample that was primarily below a water treatment plant from a village, and so that's probably why we saw a very strong positive response for the human marker there. 21 was primarily a pasture which had tile drainage out of the pasture, so we saw a very positive and strong bovine, a ruminant marker. But we also found this very strong human marker, which we were a little bit surprised, and when we went sleuthing a little bit more, we found that this particular farmer was dumping his sewage from the house directly into tile drainage. And we picked it up. We didn't know that at the time, but it came through very strongly in our sampling. So in summary, there was a statistically moderate positive correlation between the E. coli and Bacteroidales quantities in water samples. I don't know if I should say moderate. I would almost probably say that's pretty strong at that level. Ruminant and human host-specific Bacteroidales gene markers were tested for specificity and sensitivity. The two ruminant-specific markers displayed 100% sensitivity for the individual cow feces DNA. They also tested positive for other ruminant species like deer and sheep, and in addition, one of these markers was positive, moderately positive for pig feces DNA. The two human specific markers displayed 80% sensitivity towards individual human feces DNA. Once in a while, we didn't get a response, and were positive for both wastewater influent DNA and septic influent DNA, which of course would have human feces markers in them, considered to be pools of human fecal DNA, and no false positives were observed with other host DNA pools. And then across all 21 sampling sites except sample point 8, which I mentioned was this spring, we did pick up a detectable amount of the Bacteroidales marker with concentrations ranging from 10 to the 5th to 10 to the 9th DNA target segments per 100 ml of water sample. There was variation in this Bacteroidales marker concentration among these sampling sites. Among the three, recurrent high quantities were observed at these sample points 14 and 21, which I had circled earlier, and the sub-watershed of sampling point 14 had a residential area above the sampling point. Sample point 21 had a pasture for dairy cows and tile lines from this pasture, which contributed to this water sample. And this suggests a possible association between fecal contamination and land use. Now, what my student was going to do more than what I'm doing today was really a follow-up on these 14 and 21 sites, because she has gone in this summer and done some more detailed sampling over time and individual samples, you know, 50 yards up or 50 yards down from the tile, and to see exactly if we could pick up the entry point of that marker into the streams. And I'm sorry we don't have that today, but I think this gives you an idea of what we're doing and some of the data we're collecting. Thank you. Yes, this was 2008 data, and we have continued, you know, over this summer, and that's the really most recent data, and I did not have that with me, and my student in the last month, like I said, she had a baby a month ago, and she has been out of the office. I just have rarely seen her because of sickness and recovering from that. The question is, how long will the Bacteroidales survive? We don't really, that's one of the things we want to follow up. We probably won't do that in this dissertation. There is a little bit of information out there in the literature. Supposedly, because it's anaerobic, you get it out in an aerobic space, it probably won't survive real long. But the thing is, because it's shed at such high numbers, it is constantly replenishing itself. So it seems to be a pretty good, well, at least the hypothesis is it should be a pretty good indicator of almost real-time contamination.
Thank you. Okay, our next talk is by Tom Worman, who's with the USDA in Ames, Iowa, and he'll continue the talk about stream water and indicator organisms.